Begin the current daf Masechtas Nidah daf Chav Zayin. Begin 3 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of our previous Mishnah and specifically of the discussion of our previous daf regarding this when there's a shulya, miscarriage of an afterbirth. So we say that means to say that there's a fetus there. However, if there was a child born beforehand, then we could suspend that the subsequent afterbirth was from that first birth and not necessarily a different child, although it's not coming out at the same time. Now that Amar Rabbi Bar Shila, Amar Rab Masna, Amar Shmuel, he says Maisa was an incident. V'talu es ha'shulya bevlad, that they suspended that the afterbirth that was coming out, they suspended that it was a child ad asar yom, up until a period of 10 days after. Like we said in the previous staff, we said for Rav that although only up until 3 days we'll do that for a nathal, for a stillborn, but for a regular child we'll say even 10 days later, because if it would be a viable child, it would have came out at the same time. So he's saying there's such an incident, even 10 days later, that they said it wasn't a different child, it was the afterbirth that just delayed coming out 10 days from the previous child. Now, as the Gemara qualifies, Amru Tailin, and they didn't say that will be Taila, that will suspend, and will say that it was from the child, only if the afterbirth comes, even as we're seeing over here, even 10 days later, that comes after the child. But if the afterbirth came first and then the child, then we'll suspect that that first afterbirth that came out was from a different child that got dissolved, and therefore then we'll suspect that it was a different child, as we said in the previous daf, what ramifications that could be regarding, as we said in the top of the summit, if it's two different children. Now, Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar B'yechanan says, Maisa, continuing on this theme, he says it was an incident, V'taluas Ashulya Bavlat Adchav Gimel Yamim. They suspended that the afterbirth that was coming, even though it was 23 days after the child was born, they said that it's not a different child, it was from that child that was 23 days earlier. And Amalei Rabbeza said to him, Adchav Dalat Amar Tlan, you told us it was even 24 days, not 23. Similarly, Omer Vacha Bereder Vavira Omer Bitzchak, he says, Maisa Benishta Havlar Acha Chaver Lamed Gimel Yem. There was an incident where there was two babies that were born, but one baby was born 33 days after the first baby. Now, Omer Yisrael, he says, Lamed Dal, you told it was actually 34 days later. But the Gemara wonders, Hani Chalamanda Omer Yeledis Letisha, Yeledis Lemukutayin, there's a machlegis later on, the Flam Chesma Beis, regarding in Talmudic times, it was generally two times that a woman could give birth, either in the 7th month, or in the 9th month. 8th month is not a viable child. Now, there's a dispute, and according to the pin that says that a woman who gives birth in the ninth month could give birth what's called mukutan. It doesn't have to be a full 9 months. It could even be earlier in the 9th month. It could still be a viable birth. So mishkachas law, so we could understand this case, how you could have two babies born 33 days apart, where echad nigmer tzirasa l'seif shev. You could have the one of the babies, although they were conceived at the same time, but one of them, its formation was complete at the end of the 7th month, let's say a day or two before the end of the 7th month. The echad nigmer tzeras l'tchilas tisha, and the other one, where it was a 9th month baby, it finished its formation in the beginning of the 9th month, like a day into the 9th month, which that would be a separation of 33 days, which one baby went almost basically full term for the 7th month, and the other one was in the beginning of the 9th month. So you could have 33 days. Al-Mandama, you led this Letitia, any led this Lamukatam, but according to that Mandama brought later on, that says that a baby born in the 9th month cannot be partial 9 months. It has to be full 9 months to be a viable child. So Michael, what are you going to say? How are you going to find this case? You can't say they were both born in the 7th month, where, as we're going to shortly say, in the 7th month, everyone agrees you could be anywhere in the 7th month, because the 7th month is not 33 days long. And if you're going to say that, okay, one baby was at the end of the 7th month and the other one was at the end of the 9th month, well, that's more than 33 days. And if you're going to say, okay, one was in the 7th month, one is in the 8th month, but then we said in the 8th month is not a viable child. And the fact that we're saying that it was called a vlad, that it was a child, must have been it was not a stillborn. And obviously they were both viable. So how are you going to have it? How could you have 33 days apart? So Gemara, you're right, epech shmeitza. You have to invert the teachings of Rabbi Yechon that we just brought. We brought one that was suspending a shilya many days later, and one was regarding a child. So it says, Lamed Gimel L'shilya. The gap of 33 days was for the afterbirth. Yeah, even though it was 33 days later, we said that was from the child that was born 33 days before and that it wasn't a different child. And it was Chav Gimel L'vlad. And it was 23 days for the child that you could have where one finished its formation in the beginning of the 7th month, and one at the end of the 7th month, because as Rashi brings, everyone agrees that a child that's born in the 7th month could be Yeledis L'mukutayin, could be even just a partial part of the 7th month, and therefore they could both be in the 7th month with a separation, with a gap of 23 days. Continues the Gemara, Amr Bavin Bar Ravad, Amr of Menachem, Ish Kafar Sha'arim. Bamrullah, some say it wasn't the village of Sha'arim, but rather Bay Sha'arim. The Maisa bin Ishta, Vlad Echad, Achachavera, Gimel Chadashim. There was an incident where one fetus delayed being born after his fellow fetus a period of 3 months. And Vaharim Yishim Lefanein Beis HaMedrash, and they're sitting, these twins are sitting in front of us in the Beis HaMedrash. Umanin, and who are they? Yehuda v'chizki b'nei Rebchia, Yehuda and Chizki, the sons of Rebchia. Now, the Gemara at this point assumes that you can't have a gap of 3 months between the children born unless they were conceived separately, and one was filling its full period, and the other one its full pregnancy period, but it couldn't have been from the same pregnancy, from the same conception. So I'm therefore asked the Gemara, so how could it be that they're born 3 months apart? But the master said, a woman cannot become pregnant and then become pregnant again, a different conception. So then how is it possible they were born 3 months apart? So Mabayi says, you're right. Tipa achasais. It was actually one drop of seed, of conception. And then it divided into two. One of them completed its formation in the beginning of the seventh month, which we said that you could be a legislative, and one at the end of the ninth, with a gap of 3 months, the seventh month, the eighth month, and the ninth month, and therefore, yeah, they were from the same seed of conception, but then they split, which could happen with twins, and they separate into their own progress of pregnancy, and that's how you had a 3 month gap in the birth. Now the Mishnah said, "Shili b'bayis." If there's an afterbirth in the house, we said in the Mishnah, "Habayis tamei." The house is going to be tamei, as Tanur Banu Lurin the Brisa elaborates on this machlekes we mentioned in the Mishnah, where we had Reb Shimon that says, "No, the house is not going to be tamei." So the Tanakama says, "Shili b'bayis." If there's an afterbirth in the house, meaning a woman out of a body comes this afterbirth, so habayis tamei. The house is tamei. So he says, "Leisha shel yevlad." As the Tanakama of our Mishnah, this opinion also says the same thing. It's not that the afterbirth is a child and they're this dead inanimate shilya is going to convey tumah of oilames. Ela shein shilya shein vlad ima. It's just that you don't have an afterbirth that doesn't have a child with it. So although we don't see it, maybe dissolved over here, but it was here and there was a dead child, therefore it's going to make a tumas of oilames. That's the Rimeir. Now Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, we quote in the Mishnah, but additionally there's Rabbi Yisi and Yehuda, they're metarin. They say that it's tar, there's no tumah of oilames over here. And moreover, Amalei the Rimeir, they said to Rimeir in their dispute, they said, Iyata moida, don't you agree, Rimeir? If you take out this, well, it came out of the woman's body. You take it out in the bowl to an outer house, to another place, to another room. That room, Shitar, is going to be Tahar. Don't you agree that it's not going to make Tumah? So Amalei Aval, he says, yes. So they said to him, Valama, but why? Why is the first house where it came out that you're going to say is Tumah? And if you take it into another room, you agree that the room is going to be Tahar. So he said to them that Blafishainai, because it's not in that second room, since when you moved it, when you were taking it into a bowl and you're moving to the next room, that shaking around makes that whatever was there dissolved, and therefore you're not gonna have any more this thing that came out that is the Vlad that died. So Amalei, they said to him, well, like shame, shame, and just like you agree that it's not going to be in the outer room, you agree that it already got dissolved then, and then you agree when it gets dissolved, it's not going to have a tumah of a dead fetus. So though we agree that the shilya has a vlad, but the vlad gets dissolved, just like it gets dissolved when you take it onto the second room, it gets dissolved in the trauma of birth, it's not going to be in the room either. So why are you saying that's tummy? So Malhani said to them, no, ain't a dema nimik pam achas le nimik beis pam. You can't compare something that gets dissolved one time to two times. In the first time, it's still somewhat there, and therefore it's going to contaminate as a dead fetus. In the next room, it's already totally dissolved, and therefore that's not, that I agree, is not going to contaminate anymore. Now, Yasav Rav Papa Acherid Rav Bibi, Kamid Rav Amnuna. Rav Papa was sitting behind Rav Bibi, in front of Rav Amnuna. But Yasav Rav Kaman, he was sitting, was saying, my time, Rav Shimon. What's the reason, Rav Shimon? Because although, as we just quoted him, he says that it's dissolved. So therefore he says, even where it's born, where the shilya comes out, it should not be metame. But still, the whole body of the mess is still here. So it should be like other halachas we find by tumah of a mess, which is like rekev, which is the dust, or netzel, which is like the gel, which when you have the flesh of the dead person that gets dissolved and becomes like this putrid liquid, that itself should have the tumah. So why does Reb Shimon say, not like Reb Meir, that it's going to be tar even where the shilya comes out? So it says, Kesavar, he holds, called tumah shenis arv ba b'min achar, any tumah that something else even something that's from something that would be tummy itself, but it's not the same thing as it's getting mixed into, then betela, it nullifies that thing. So therefore here, you're right, you have rekiv, you have netzel, you have elements of the dead fetus that are here, but since these other things like the blood of childbirth get mixed in with it, so it nullifies it, and therefore it's not going to contaminate anymore. So Amalur of Papa, Papa said to them, "Hainu namitamayid Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yesi." And we, when we quoted Rabbi Shimon, we said along with him Rabbi Yesi Rabbi Yehuda, their reasoning is also the same thing. So Achichula, they laughed at him. Maishna, well, of course, what would be the difference? Their reasoning from his reason, they're all saying the same opinion. Pshita, obvious. What are you coming to add? So Amalur of Papa, he said, "Afiliki ha'melsa." Even something like this, which people could laugh from, lema inish, a person should say that because maybe from what he's saying, they'll tell him some reasoning. Fully nishtikame rabbi, you shouldn't be sitting in the front of his teacher and to say that he'll explain it to him. No, you should speak up, even though it might seem like something that's obvious that people might laugh at you. B'shem shenema, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, with the way he interprets this pasuk, is im nevalte, if you disgrace yourself on the words of Torah, I mean you're not ashamed to ask, to comment. So at the end, behisnaset, you're going to become elevated. But vimza maisa, but if you muzzle, you silence yourself, ultimately you're going to place yad lepe, you're going to put your hand on your mouth, you're not going to know what to answer to those who ask of you. And therefore, yeah, he spoke up, even though people are laughing at him. Now the Gemara says, va'azd Reb Shimon l'tami. Shimon, the Gemara assumes to try to explain, that the interpretation of Reb Shimon that we just said, his opinion, although there is an element of the vlad over here that should become tami, but we said it becomes nullified in the fact that there's something else mixed into it, he goes according to Latame, according to his reasoning, as we find elsewhere, he says the same idea. The time, like Luna Braisa. Molly Tarvid, a spoonful of rekev, which is the dust of a dead person, which that's the measurement, halacha meishim, we've seen that it's an oral tradition that we have, to mimetamina oil is a spoonful of the dust of a decomposed dead person. Shenafala teichi afer kalshu, if a small amount of dust gets of regular earth gets mixed into that dust of the dead person. So the Tanakhama says, all tummy, it's going to be tummy. But Rabbi Shimon Mitari says, no, it's not going to be mitami anymore. So says the Gemara, my tummy to Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason, Rabbi Shimon? So Amar Rabbi says, Ashke chasina l'rabban and the Bei Rav, the Yasav Kami. I said, I encountered the rabbis of the Yeshiva Rav. They were sitting, they were saying that although the majority is this rekev, is the spoonful of the dust of the dead person, but still they said, Efsh, it's not possible that it falls in wherever the earth fell into, that you shouldn't have a particle of the dust of the dead person between two particles of earth. That you shouldn't have the two particles of earth that are on either side of this one particle of the dust of the dead person, thus being nullified in the majority of the earth. And therefore then you're lacking the measurement of the spoonful because one particle is being nullified in two particles of earth. So therefore you don't have the measurement, therefore he holds as going to be tar. So that says, Rabbi Vamin Lohu, I said to them, Adrabba, to the contrary. I could tell you the other way around. I could tell you that it's not possible that you won't have the two particles of the dust of the dead person that shouldn't be increased, Allah Zikat Tamid Bayz, pray the achas offer onto one particle of the earth that fell into it. Benafishle Shiran, to the contrary, I'll tell you that actually has more than the measurement of a spoonful of the dust of a dead person because it gains on its team by nullifying the earth that fell into it. So Elam Rabbi, rather he gives a different interpretation. It says, the reason that Reb Shimon is that soifai, the end of this rekib of the dust of the dead person, meaning when you have it already, is ketchilase, is like its beginning when it starts becoming the dust of the dead person. As he explains, matchilase, just like in the beginning when a dead person is buried. If there's something else where the dead person is buried that also could decompose and become dust, nasle dova acher gan gilon. So that other thing becomes antithetical. It nullifies, it stops, that other thing stops the halach of rekev from happening. So av seifis is so too also at the end. Even after when you have a bona fide rekev hames, when it got buried accordingly that it could create rekev, nas le'dava achar, something else that gets mixed in with it, creates a gangilan, it nullifies it. Where gangilan means to see something that's the antidote, that's antithetical, that nullifies and ruins that thing. So that's the reasoning of the opinion of Reb Shimon. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, so now we're not saying anymore letame, because now we're giving the understanding of the understanding of Reb Shimon by rekev is a unique halacha of the laws of rekev, saying that seifa is ketchilase. So So then the Gemara is going to go back and ask, so how do we understand the halacha of Shilya that he says is going to be tar, where that doesn't relate to the unique halacha Zarekim? Why over there does he say that the Shilya, which something of the dead fetus is over here, why is it not going to be tame, bevai sapanimi, in the place where the Shilya comes up? But the Gemara first clarifies as mahi. What's this halacha that you're saying that in the beginning of the burial of the dead person, that something else makes gangilan that doesn't allow it to become rekib, that you're comparing sci-fi when you have already the dust of the dead person and something else gets mixed in, that they're also, we're going to say that it's going to be gangilan. Because the time like Linda Bryce, Ezehu meis shiesh li rekib, what is considered a corpse, a dead person that will have the halacha of the dust? Ezehu meis shiesh li rekib, what's the type of halacha of a dead person that doesn't have, meaning that his rekib, his dust, will not be metame for this halacha of rakiv. So explains Abraisa. Nikva arim ba'arin shel shayish, if the dead person is buried naked in a coffin made out of marble, oyagabi ritzba shalavanim, or on a floor made out of stone, where now there's nothing over here that could be decomposed. Marble, stone, these things do that. What it's mixed in, there's nothing here that could get mixed in that could decompose. So zehu meishesh le'rekiv. The law of rekiv, it has to be purely the dust of the dead person, and here that's all you're going to have. But vezehu meishesh le'rekiv. What's a dead person that does not have the halacha of the dust? Is nikva b'ksusa. If let's say gets buried in his clothing in shrouds, where that could decompose. Or even if he's buried naked, ba'arin shel eitz, in a coffin of wood, which could also decompose. Or on the floor of bricks, which those bricks themselves, that the earth that's made in the brick could dissolve. So there could be something else that decomposes. That's a dead person that does not have the halacha of the dust, of contaminating, because something else is mixed inside of it. And that's what we said, that so too is l'saifu, which is, that's the opinion of Reb Shimon. Now, finishes off the braisa. We didn't say the laws of dust only for a person who died. Which, as the Gemara explains, that's lemute harig delight. That comes to exclude someone that was murdered, where they were not going to say the halacha of the dust, because when he gets murdered, his blood comes out when he gets murdered, and he's missing part of himself. Which the Gemara says in Nazadaf, no, Nalav Manalav, a dead person that's missing doesn't have the halacha of rekiv. The Gemara goes back, Gufa, we said that malay tarvid rekiv, a spoonful of the dust of a dead person, where a little bit of earth falls into that. So Tanakama says, Tame is still going to be Tame, because you have the spoonful of Rekiv. Rabbi Shimon says it's going to be Tar, as we explained his opinion, because Saifa is Kitchilas. Now the Gemara says, similarly, there's a Mishnah Masechtas Alis that says, Maloi Tarvid Rekiv Shinispaz Bavayas, if you have a spoonful of the dust of a dead person that gets spread out throughout a house. So Habay is Tame. The house is going to be Tame because it's oil Hames. It's oil over a spoonful of Rekiv. Rabbi Shimon Tar, Rabbi Shimon says it's going to be Tar. So this seems to be the same halacha. So as Gemara Tzricha, we have to say both the previous Braista that we just quoted in Gufo and this Mishnah Masechtas Alos. Why? The Yashmini Kamai said, we only said the first Braista, but Hikam Rabban, we would say over there, the Rabban say it's going to be Tame. Shem the Michnif. That case, talking about where the spoonful is all together, you just have some earth inside of that, so that doesn't nullify the spoonful of the dust, and therefore it's going to be Tame. Avon the Spaza, but the case in the Mishnah Masechtas Alos where the dust is not in one spoon, it's spread out throughout the house. I would say that maybe they agree to Rabbi Shimon that it's going to be Tar. Why? For a reason that's called the Ein Mal V'Chayzer Mal, because you can't have an oil and then again have an oil. Means to say, the roof opposite this part of the dust of the dead person is only on half of the measurement. The other part of the oil is on the other half. So these are like two different oils, and I would say that they don't combine. Therefore, we have to say that over there, they also disagree, and they say it's going to be Tame for the oil mess. And the Yashmi Naha, had we only said the Mishnah Masechtas Alos, Ba'om Reb Shimon, I would say over here Reb Shimon says that it's going to be Tar because of the reason the Ein Mal V'Chayzer Mal, because you can't have one thing as a canopy and another thing as on the other half as a canopy. They don't combine. But in the Braisa, we quoted when it's one spoon in together, I would say maybe with the Hirgris Rabbanan, that even though some earth fell in, it would still be Mitame. So therefore, Tzrich, we have to say both contexts, the Braisa and the Mishnah Masechtas Alos. Now, similarly, on this theme, Tanya Dichulin, another Braisa, Maloi Tarvid Va'id, meaning more than just a spoonful of afar beis haklaris, of the earth of a cemetery, meaning we're not talking about literally the dust of a dead person. Rather, we're talking about that it was buried in burial shrouds or in the ground, not in the coffin made out of marble. So, yeah, you have over here in this dust that's more than a spoonful of this dust, you have mixed in, there's the dust of the dead person, and you have earth. But since you're having, as the Gemara is going to explain, the dust of the dead person, although there's other things mixed in, says the Tanna Kamma, Tameh, it's going to be Tameh. But Reb Shimon Tar, Reb Shimon says, here, obviously, you have other things mixed in over here, so it's going to be Tar. Says Gemara, my time in the Rabbanon, what's the reason Rabbanon? So, according to the interpretation of Rashi, the Gemara's answer, L'fishi efshel amali tarvit v'eid afet beis hakvar, it's not possible to have more than a spoonful, if you have more than a spoonful, of the dust of the cemetery, shein boi mole tarvid rakab, that you shouldn't have at least a spoonful of the dust of the dead person. So although there's other things mixed in, but since you have a mole tarvid rakab, if it's going to be metame, but again, according to Rishim, we said since something else is mixed in, it's not going to be metame. Fine. Now the Gemara goes back, as we had alluded to, and we said, okay, nahashu da amritamid Reb Shimon. Now that you said the reason Reb Shimon, that he says by the rekiv, the spoonful of the dust of the dead person, that gets mixed with something else that's going to be tar, that you said there it's a unique halacha because of the laws of tumah. Mishum sevek etchilasa, because the end of the dust is like the formation of the dust, which we said nothing else can be mixed in. So that's a unique halacha for that. So Gabe Shilya my Tamas, and then now we can't say it's lit shitasa lit tame, that it's the same idea. By Shilya, then what's the reason? That doesn't have the same halacha of Saivik Khilasa. When the Shilya comes, you have Rekev, you have the gel, you have all different types of formations of the dead fetus. So that's not Rekev. So why don't you say over there that it's gonna have a halacha of Tumma Bavaisa Pidimi? So Rabbi Yechanan, he says, yeah, it's a different reason. It's because a nullification in the majority that this halacha applies, where the blood of the birth from the woman's own body is more than the dissolved fetus, and therefore it becomes nullified. That's the reason why there's not going to be any tumah. You're right. There is a dead fetus here, because you have a shul, you have an afterbirth. But they disagreed with Reb Meir, and Reb Shimon says it's going to be tar, because it was already nullified in the woman's body, when it turned into blood and was nullified by the blood of the woman's body before it came out. Says the Gemara, V'azd Rabbi Yechon Tameh. And Rabbi Yechon, who gave this interpretation, goes according to his reasoning. Why? Because the Amr Rabbi Yechon, he said, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amr Davar Echad, they said the same thing, whereas we're going to later explain the halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that we're going to quote is because of Bitl Barayv, the same concept of a shilya, of a fetus being nullified in the majority. That is the two halachas where Reb Shimon Hodamar, like Reb Yechon just explained, that he said the reason Reb Shimon says it's not going to have a tumah in the bais where the shilya comes out, although that's for sure of Lot, because it was nullified in the majority. That's Reb Shimon. And what's this Reb Eliezer that he says is saying the same thing? The Tanya, which Mishnah Masechtas Bechori says, Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Amar, he says, Behema Gasa, large animal, which from the large livestock, which never had given birth yet before, which therefore the first child that's born to the animal is a Bechor, which has to be given as a matron to the Kohen. So if this large animal, sheshafa chareres dam, that flows, a large cake of blood comes out of the animal, so harezu to cover, that cake of blood has to be buried, because that's the dissolution of the firstborn animal, and therefore patum in the Bechayr. So therefore, if this animal gives birth ever again, that child doesn't have to be given to the Kohen, because it's exempt from Bechayr. The first one that was the cake of blood was the Bechayr. The Bryce explained this mission. He says, but ain't a metama. That cake of blood is not going to be metama. Anyone who lebemaga, lebemasa, not if someone touches the cake of blood or if someone carries it. Now, the question on that was, but if that cake of blood is not going to be contaminating anyone by touching or carrying it, obviously, we're not concerned that that's a dead animal, because if it was a dead animal, which to be the firstborn, then it would be metame as in the velo. So then they might cover. Then why are we burying it if it's not a dead animal? Oh, and that said, the Gemara, could lefarsa mashihi paturim in the Bechayr. It's just to publicize that this animal is exempt from the laws of the firstborn. So that people should know that this was the Petarechem, who was the first one to open up the womb, and to know that any subsequent animal is not going to be obligated in Bechayr, and don't think that the next one's the first one. We bury this one to say that people should know, oh, this was the Petarechem. So then the question was, so if he's saying that she's going to be exempt from the next animal being the Bechayr, so I'm a Vlad Malihu. So then obviously that the first one was a child. So why did Reb Chiya say that it's not going to contaminate? It is a dead animal. It should contaminate as an avela. And that in Rabbi Yechanan, which is the same idea, Mishum Bet Barayv Nagaba, it says because of laws of nullification in the majority, where yeah, there was an animal that was stillborn over here that got dissolved, which was nullified in the blood of the animal that it was born in, and that's why it's not going to have any tumah because it was nullified. But yes, it was an animal that was the Bechayr that then exempts the subsequent animal from being a Bechayr for the Kohen. So if you see, it's Rabbi Yechanan Lishitasin explaining this halacha of Reb Shimon in the context of Shilya, which again is different than the halacha of Rekiv, which the halacha of Rekiv is unique halacha in Rekiv that Seif is Ketchilasin. Now, Amar Bami Amar B'yechanan, another teaching from Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Umayid Rabbi Shimon. He says, Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah that spoke about the halacha of Shilya, that he says that, yeah, although Ein Shilya B'lev Lad, still said the bias that the Shilya is in is going to be tar. So although Rabbi Shimon says that the house is going to be tar, because like we just explained, because it gets dissolved in the blood of the birth, but she'ime tmei leida, he agrees that the mother is going to have a tumas of leida because there was a birth of a child over here. It just got nullified. And on that, Amahu Sara Rabbami, this elder said to Rabbami, he says, Azbalach time and Rabbi Yechanan. He says, I'll explain to you the reasoning of Rabbi Yechanan. Because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, Yikra, it says, Isha Kisazriya, a woman that's going to emit seed, the elder Zachar Begayim is going to give birth to a boy, etc., where it says, Vitama, there's going to be a Tama of Leidam. So what that tells us from the Pasuk you see is that Fidla Yolda, even if a woman doesn't give birth, Elikain Shazriya, only like the way the seed was given. In other words, if let's say what she emits from her body, what she miscarries, is dissolved like seed, as seed comes in, which is a liquid, that's actually kisazriya, is what's v'yolda. Still, the pasuk is telling us, tamei leida, it's going to have a tum of leida. So those are not going to be tum in the bias, because it's already dissolved, but that's considered the birth of a child, to have halacha of tumas of leida. Now, as the Mefarshim, as the Rishonim explained, another interpretation in Reb Shimon, Rish Lakish, he says that the reason that Reb Shimon said that's going to be tar in the bias, he says, Shafir Shetarfu. Shafir, Shfir, is the embryo that gets mixed up, b'meim of in its waters. Either it means to say the waters that it gets washed with, or it means to say the waters, the birthing waters, or the filth that it's born with. So if it gets mixed up in that liquid, so that becomes like a dead person who loses his form, which gets totally dissolved, like as we're going to shortly explain the case when the person's body gets totally burnt, where it gets totally dissolved, and the person's body is not intact anymore. Just like over there, it's not going to be metame as mess anymore. So too, Reb Shimon holds also over here that even though you're right, there was a fetus over here, but it gets totally dissolved, and therefore it's not going to be metame the bais, because it's not going to be metame anymore, just like a regular person, that if that happened to him, where it was nisbal b'tzarasa. However, Amalei Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, he says, wait, the concept that you're basing it on, meish nisbal b'tzarasa, a dead person who his whole form gets mixed up, menal and tar. Where do you know that over there it's tar, that you're comparing over here to the fetus, to the stillborn, that it also gets totally mixed up, that, because you don't even see it over here, it gets totally, you only see the afterbirth. How do you know that that concept is true, that you're basing it on that? That he said the following halacha, and therefore that's where you're basing on your concept that meish and esbal b'tzurasli is tar. He says the following halacha, he says, meish shenisraf, a dead person that gets burnt, v'shilda kayemes, but his body is still intact. Which means to say that the ashes have not been spread out. He still looks like an intact person, although his body's been burnt. So he says, Tame, the person's still going to be like a dead person that contaminates. And ma'isahayu, there was an incident. V'tamol pesachim gedol, there was such an incident of such a dead person that was burnt. And still, when it was in the house, they made all the large openings where there were openings from the house, at least the size of four tfachim, that those openings have the law of tumah. And as you continue the type of chav chesem and aleph, but the tiri lipsachim kitanim, but they purified the small openings, which were less than four tfachim, which essentially means to say like the halacha of an intact dead person. Where the halacha is that the larger openings protect on the smaller openings if we designated the openings, where the halacha is that a dead person, the opening is that of four tfachim, which is if a dead person's in a house, all the openings we say are considered tame, because it's considered that the dead person is going to end up taking out through the opening. But if the opening is less than four tefachim, it's going to be tar. Now, when do we say that, as we're talking about over here, is to protect the other openings. If you have bigger openings, it says that we're not taking out through an opening less than four tefachim. But in general, just to take out the mess, we say that if there's opening the size of a tefach, then it would take out the tumah to the other side. As the Gemara says in the Aulist, in the third parak, a dead person, when we say the opening is four tefachim, that's only to say that because we're going to consider the big openings tumah and not the small openings to protect the smaller ones. But in general, to take out tumah from, if tumah is considered going out from one place to the other, that could even go out the size of a tefach. We're talking about here when, in regards to the ultimate taking out of the dead body. But one thing is, says Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, v'kadaikis mina'o, and you're inferring from this halacha, that time of the shilda kayemis, the reason why this halacha was, that it was contaminating still, is because its body was intact. Halav hachitar, so you're inferring, but if the body was not intact, then it would be tar. So you see this concept of nisbal b'tzarasa that's tar, and so do you want to say that this fetus is also nisbal b'tzarasa and therefore it's tar, and that's how you explain the Reb Shimon. Says, to the contrary, I could tell you, duk min ola ha'gi, so the inference could be the other way around. You could infer and say the halacha, yeah, the reason why we're saying specifically shildasa kayemes, that it's shilda kayemes, that its body was intact, is only to say the other halacha of who detiru le psachim gitanim. That's when you consider like a regular dead person, where we say, okay, a dead person, we're taking through at least an opening size of four tfachim, that it's going to say, but the opening small in dal tfachim are going to be tar. But halavachi, but if not, if let's say it wasn't a spal b'tzarasai, then actually psachim gitanim nami tamei, not that then it would be tar even through the big ones because it wouldn't be tamei. No, then you'd say that even the small openings would be tamei. The chalchad v'chad, chazi lafuki, chad chad ever. Because since it's totally, he's like ashes, so you don't have to take through, oh, a dead person, you got to fit him through an opening of dalat fachim. No, you could take out each limb through a different opening. And that's the inference you can make. And there's no basis for your halacha that you're basing on to then say that that's the interpretation that here also is like nisbal b'tzaras. And the Gemara follows up on this and says, Amalei Rabbeinu Ravashi, he says, Rabbi Yechanan, that he disagrees with Rish Lakish, and he wants to say that a dead person, even if it's nisbal b'tzaras, even though he totally loses his form, that it gets totally burnt, still is going to be metame, the Amar Kaman, who is he saying like? Says the Gemara, Krebel Yazir, did not like, the Mishnah Masechet is Alis. Ephris Serufin, the ashes of a dead, the ashes of a burned person. So Rabbi Yezra, I mean, he says, Shireha Bereiva, the measurement of Tumah is like a quarter of a kav. So you see that even though it's totally nisbal b'tzarasi, he's burnt, he's just a bunch of ashes, you see from Rabbi Yezra, and that's what Rabbi Yechanan is going on, you see that there's still a halacha of Tumah, and therefore you can't base the halacha saying that here also by the feet is nisbal b'tzarasi to be tar, because nisbal b'tzarasi is still tummy. Now, the Gemara just goes back and clarifies this that we quoted here, that we said regarding this halacha that was brought, that regarding this halacha from Reb Shapsai, says, how do you have such a situation of a dead person that was burnt, but still the form of the dead person's body could be intact? So Amabai says, for example, if the person was burnt on top of a hard leather that was boiled and hard, where the leather doesn't get burnt with the dead person, so the body could be there and totally burnt, but it still could be intact on that leather couch. Or Rav Amar, he says, Kikin Shesarf Agabe Afoidarim. Similar idea, if it was burnt, the person was burnt on top of a stone of marble. Whereas Rashi explains, both of them are talking about that there was a receptacle and there were boundaries to contain the dead person, where although the thing that's holding it, like marble or the hard leather, is not going to get burnt, but you need to have something holding it that, if he's totally burned, that his dust doesn't spread out all over the place. So it's something that could be holding him, so he could be burned, but his body could still be intact. And the third interpretation, Ravina, he says, Kigun dechruchi achruchi, he says, you could have, if the person is burnt and charred, but it doesn't become ashes. So that's a very simple case where it's not spreading all over, but it can still be burnt, and it could be shulda kayemes, and again, that's three different interpretations, but the case that we said, where the halacha was that it was tamei psachim gedalim, but it was tar psachim gedalim, and that's where we had this machlik, is Rosh Lakish and Biyach, and then what's the inference? Does that say that if it was not shulda kayemes, then actually it would be tahar? Or like Biyach, and it says, no, to the contrary, then even the psachim gedalim would be tamei, because he holds in spal, but sarasai is still going to be tamei.